So Peggy Erkaniff, communications director, is that on Wednesday morning, Doug Lukowski and Paul Story, KPBSD school counselor, will be taking calls live and talking about graduation for Flex and graduation for Homer High. But I also want to make sure to hear from you about district plans going forward for the summer. And then also, I'm sure you're already making plans. Phase two, the governor's phase two of reopening things, says pools can open, but the school district isn't going to open any pools. Is that right?
Not at this time. And in fact, the Homer pool for sure won't be opening because we are doing a lot of maintenance work at that school. So there would be no ability to heat the water in the pool. So Homer pool will be closed this summer.
Oh, right. They're getting a new boiler, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Are there other things that you can share that are on the improvement list for Homer High this summer?
It's a very big project to take care of that they're doing with the new boiler systems and getting all that taken care of. So that's pretty exciting that is being taken care of and getting done.
And will there be anything opening in the school? I know that the school often allows groups to use the school property for events and for classes and that sort of thing. Is any of that going to be going on throughout the school district this summer?
Thank you for that question. It's a really good question and one that is asked often, and I haven't been asked it yet. But with the phase two of reopening that began last week and potentially even phase three coming, we don't know entirely what the details of that will be. At this time, all of our facilities, so all schools, are closed to any type of what we call a memorandum of agreement or any rentals or anything. Part of that is, one, we don't know when we would be able to safely reopen. And then secondarily, there's a fair amount of things that need to be put into place for building use agreements, and that includes custodial work, and it includes, with COVID, a lot of the restrictions of how the cleaning is happening, the capacity numbers of people inside of spaces. So there's many multipliers that would go into determining if a group could use a space and which space and how is it going to be cleaned properly. And right now our schools are all exceedingly clean. We have symptoms-free protocol in place. We know who is in and out of the buildings. And so at this time there's no building use agreements or rentals that are planned, and we haven't reopened those up to make any new reservations.
So this is the week, the next week, I guess, and the next 2 weeks maybe, where graduations are taking place all across the peninsula. Did the district have to make hard decisions about what kind of work was acceptable? Did they broaden their parameters for what kind of work kids could turn in? Since spring break, there hasn't been any school, and everybody's been adjusting to the new way of doing things. So were there decisions that had to be made through the district about accepting work from students?
Absolutely. So I hear two parts in the question. One is, what happened with remote learning and how do we even assign a grade for this last quarter of work? And then the second piece is about the class of 2020 graduations that are happening at actually 19 schools around the district. So first off, as far as the shift to remote learning that happened after spring break, so schools have never been closed to staff, only to students, and that happened by mandate. So in our district, the way the timing worked, the original spring break took place, and then spring break was extended for students for 2 weeks. Well, staff came back and prepared to be able to teach remotely in a whole new way, and it fast-tracked that. So some of our staff have already been understanding how that might work for them and been exploring it. And then we have a couple teachers that do distance learning. But most of our staff are used to seeing kids in the building all day long every day. So that was a big lift, and I am really proud. Our district in the state and even in the country was at the forefront. And so that first few days, we had a lot of staff calling home, and we did a survey district-wide about what resources do you have at home? Do you have devices? Do you have the ability to get internet? So that we could understand how many students would have the ability to receive education remotely via a digital device, and how many would need a paper packet. So that was one of the first steps that helped us even understand across our district, what abilities are there to receive any kind of instruction remotely? And then we offered professional development every single day. And to date, we've offered over 400 professional development classes for our teachers on over 90 different topics of how to teach remotely. And we've taped them. So there's a whole bank of things that our staff can go back and watch and learn from as they want to go deeper and get more advanced into topics. So that was foundational for us. And then it was contacting parents and figuring out how they could become partners in their child's learning. Then we had a whole other thing get added in that was all around touching paper and do we quarantine paper products and how do we send things back and forth from home safely. So when I think back of all of the things that we had to learn and make decisions about, and there was state health mandates that helped inform a lot of those and other things where we had a lot of smart minds putting together what we could do, the biggest thing was we wanted our kids to keep learning, and even if that meant reading every day, whatever that meant, we were going to reach our kids and have contact with them. One of the flip sides that we did discover is initially parents were saying, whoa, way too much information coming at me as far as my child. I have three children and all their teachers are calling me and the school's calling me and they have multiple subjects and I can't even keep track of all the materials that are coming and all the people that are wanting to reach out and make sure everything's okay. So we tried to balance that. And I think a takeaway that we'll learn is if we continue remotely, how do we do that when especially some of the older students have more than one teacher and more than one class so that it's not an overwhelm of phone calls or emails.
Right. Plus parents often have more than one child to navigate all this. And that doesn't even begin to address what teachers are going through with all the kids in their class.
That got us going. And then one of the things we put into place immediately was we would have a no-harm grade policy.
What's that mean?
There wouldn't be any punitive grading happening because this was out of everybody's control. And so whatever grade a student had going third quarter, that was the grade they'd have at the end. They could raise their grade, though. The hope is that learning is engaging and they want to continue learning, but we did put a no-harm grading policy in place that nobody would end up having a grade drop because we don't know what the home life was for kids. We don't know what circumstances they had as well as being able to figure out how to do this on a whole new level. So that was something else that we put in for our district.
About how many, were you giving tablets, letting kids use tablets if they didn't have a laptop?
Great question. So in that initial survey that we did district-wide back in April, out of that survey, this was fascinating to me, and we're gathering more data, but based on 6,800 survey responses, at a student level district-wide, 493 students did not have internet, and that equated to 275 families that didn't have internet. We also checked out Chromebooks. We decided that through our amazing information services department, whatever we do in processes, we want to replicate them. So we don't want lots of different types of devices when we need to look at what internet security is, when we look at what apps or programs are put out on devices and how to troubleshoot. So we opted to use Chromebooks. And a lot of our schools, as you might know, have rolling carts of computers. And so we ended up deploying district-wide, basically like checking them out, like if you went to the library and checked out a book, we were able to check out over 1,400 devices to students so that they would have a device at home to be able to work with through Chromebooks. The first wave, we thought we'd do about 400, and then there was another wave of 400. So those were all pulled from all different schools. So as part of the materials being brought back next week and later this week, when those get returned, they'll all be finding either where they originally came from, because sometimes a student from one school ended up with a Chromebook that actually was originally assigned to a different school, so we could accommodate all the need that there was. And then we had a full-time Monday through Friday help desk for support in our information services department. And that was both for staff and for families. And we had, I think in mid-April when I pulled this data, we'd had over 2,500 phone calls, internal and external, asking for help, and over 1,000 email support tickets resolved. So when you look at the scale of what our district did to serve all the kids and families, and then what families were going through. Some parents were working and they were essential workers and trying to juggle this, and others were having the stresses of not having work, and then everybody together and limiting contact with friends. What we've all gone through for 2 months is pretty, pretty amazing and outrageous, really.
So much of what the school district has been providing for students and parents is about to go away. The lunch program, well, it was actually two meals a day. The food program will end on the 19th. That's next Tuesday. Do district employees like Jane Dunn, the students in transition officer or counselor, do they work year-round? Do they work through the summer?
Not at this time, they don't. And so they do. We do have another summer program, but our students in transition program, for example, ends. It's a school year program. We wish we had funding to keep that going all year round. But there is then another program that picks up that helps with a summer program for our most at-risk kids, but it's not the same as the students in transition program.
And what is that?
Kelly King, who oversees everything for students in transition, and she has somebody else, and I know they're doing that in Central Peninsula, and I'm assuming that it also does the outreach in the Southern Peninsula as well. And then we really looked at, could we keep meals going all summer long? And we did an analysis for both the ability to get food and the way we'd fund those meals, and then do we have staff? Because our student nutrition services staff is definitely not year-round. And we did not have the staff to be able to continue to do the program and using buses, and they're off contract through the summer months. So I know that's a big concern about, especially for Homer area, because Boys and Girls Club is going to step in, but that's really only serving Seward and Kenai and Nikiski.
And I want to talk about staff for the fall. One of the things that I have read on Alaska Public Media was that Governor Dunleavy secured a contract with a distance learning company in Florida to transition to distance learning throughout the state. Does it affect the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District?
Our district believes we can meet all the needs of our youth and our young people through what we're offering, and that our teachers work regularly with our children, and so they know them. They know what supports they need. We're really getting a lot more skills at the remote learning. So for our district, we believe we're one of the districts that was able to put that in place. When that program from the governor's office and Department of Ed came into realization pretty rapidly, a large part of that initial reasoning wasn't for districts like ours. It was for the smaller, more remote districts that maybe didn't have the kind of supports that they needed, or, you know, if a teacher wasn't coming back to a village, or we have so many more resources available in our district. We know our kids. We can reach out to them. We have staff. So a program like that would not be nearly as needed in our district at all. In fact, we would prefer people to stay in our district and use the resources and distance classes that we're able to offer.
And so students in Tyonek, Nanwalek, Port Graham, Seldovia, they're not in danger of having their schools closed?
No, not right now. Not at all. We are still hiring. Hiring is hard right now. There's a limited pool of people, and so we do have several positions still open. So that's something new. But really,
and
those aren't
just teaching positions, right? There is also other kinds of employment available right now within the district for people.
Yes, we're actually going to hire. We have a couple positions for nurses that will open up, and those are not yet posted. We have school counselors we're hiring right now. As long as enrollment stays up, schools are funded going into the next school year. If the enrollment is 10 or more, then the schools are funded by the state, and all of our schools are at that threshold right now. So schools are funded. The only thing right now and for this year, our school board made a decision not to look at consolidating schools. As we go into the next year and year after that, as we look at state budget things, that might end up coming back up. But at this point, we're slated to open all 42 of our schools in August. So there will be a restart for sure. And the question we don't have an answer to is, what does a reopen to the building actually look like?
You have to have a plan for school opening completely. You have to have a plan for school opening part-time. You have to have a plan for resuming distance learning. I was listening to Dr. Fauci testify before U.S. Congress today, saying that this isn't going anywhere.
Right. So, and along those lines, the biggest focus we've been telling our principals right now is focus on finishing the year strong. That's been the focus, and the Commissioner of Education has been telling superintendents that as well. Focus on finishing this school year strong. But this summer, we know, and the Commissioner said this last week to us on a call, and he said, and I quote this, there won't be no risk in FY21, meaning the school year that starts in August and goes till next spring. So we're working with two things. Right now, we have a task force with the district. There's 20 of us on that team, and we met last week for the first time. And what was really cool, we went through, we did an exercise and named everything that is a known right now and everything then that is an unknown about the coming year. And I was blown away at how many things we've learned in 2 months that we do know. That was really empowering to realize how much we've done, to just step back and do kind of an analysis and say, oh my goodness. But we do have a lot of unknowns. So that task force is meeting twice this week and twice next week, and then we'll be meeting through the summer. We'll be using a framework that is coming through the Department of Education at a state level that will look at conditions for learning based on a low risk, a medium risk, and a high risk of COVID in our communities. And then we'll look at what are the conditions for learning with low, medium, and high risk. What's the continuity of learning? Like, how are we continuing to do that within a low risk, a medium risk, and high risk? And then what are the capacities or resources needed for low risk, medium risk, or high risk? There will probably be regions or pockets where if there is community spread of COVID-19, there might be a time period for a month or 2 months where one portion of the peninsula or a school, one or two schools or five schools is actually at a high risk. And so we shift into, you know, it's more stay in place and remote learning, or different classrooms then in low risk would be opening up. And there's a lot of things to figure out. And we've got a lot of really smart people working on that. And we'll be working all summer long on that, and also communicating with our parents and our staff and families through the summer and the community, so people understand what we're working on.
Decisions about sports, travel, events, and extracurricular activities, I expect those decisions will be made as more information comes to light.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of unknowns right now about all of that. And we know that sports and all of that and travel are really important to kids. But we are all working within the health mandates. And the biggest, most important thing that the leadership from the school district is taking is that we're following the health mandates. We're keeping our staff safe, so their place of employment continues. We're really proud we kept all of our employees employed through all of this, so nobody was losing paychecks, and we have essential workers as part of providing distance education. That was considered essential in our state, and we're grateful for that. So lots of things that are unknown right now, but the knowns are that we will keep following the mandates and doing everything we can to have safe schools and providing education for our students.
Well, I absolutely appreciate your time so that we get the district's perspective, and I really appreciate that from you.
I would add that we know for the class of 2020, it's a big disappointment that this year is ending like this. And our schools are doing their best to be creative and follow the guidelines that were put out by the state for graduations. And there's specific guidelines the state put out for graduations. And so we have 19 schools across the district that have all put their plans in. And I've got a big document with all those. It's about ready to be public. But we really appreciate everybody working together to celebrate our graduates and this class of 2020.